Presidential rhetoric and presidential campaigns has become quite promising in our times, especially as we're blessed to experience the self-proclaimed the one we've been waiting for. The Earth's temperature will cool, oceans will recede. You can keep your current health plan if you want, but it will be more affordable and it will be available to all. We will no longer have to worry about living paycheck to paycheck. Of course, some of us are no longer getting paychecks. And when the teleprompter was off, we learned we were taking this message to all 57 states. Yet, thanks to President Obama, we may be this year be more interested in the people's rhetoric than in presidential rhetoric. But that is, in fact, our topic today, rhetoric and the modern presidency. I'm Ron Robinson, president of Young America's Foundation. I'm honored to be back here with the Philadelphia Society, which I've been a member, but I've been absent for a number of recent meetings, in part because of the responsibilities that our organization undertook when we took over responsibility for President Reagan's ranch, his beloved Western White House in Santa Barbara. Now, I am tempted to say, what did you let happen to the country in my absence? But I'll try to stick to rhetoric in the modern presidency. One quote from a journalist about the Reagan Ranch and sometimes historian Lou Cannon is that there was more of Ronald Reagan in his ranch than in all of his speeches. I seldom quote that, although a number of my colleagues do at the Western White House, because I think Reagan's rhetoric, including that in favor of his tax cut, which he signed in 1981 at the ranch, or many of his moving over 47 nationwide radio addresses from the ranch, including those that would rally domestic and international support for solidarity, have profoundly shaped American public policy and international policy to this day. Our movement's historian, if we can accept Lee Edwards for a moment, George Nash, captures in his Reappraising the Right the past and future of American conservatism. Nash notes that Ronald Reagan's electoral victory in 1980 completed the mainstreaming of the modern conservative movement. But, quote, more than that, he imbued it with rhetorical staying power. As Michael Barone has observed, the great communicator gave American conservatism a more optimistic tone, evoking hope for the future instead of nostalgia for the receding past. He couched his social vision in the language of American exceptionalism, the lilting religious imagery of America as a chosen nation, chosen by God to be free and to be the golden hope of all mankind. Nash wrote that Reagan's invincible optimism, his unquenchable confidence in freedom, his conviction that history is not predetermined, imbued not only Americans in general, but a generation of his fellow conservatives. Nash summed up Reagan's accomplishments in all his presidency in his book, Reappraising the Conservative Movement. And you cannot help but in listening to or reading Nash's summary of the accomplishments of the Reagan administration to be overwhelmed by the power of his rhetoric and the impact it had on his administration's successes and perhaps a guide for future conservative presidents. Nash cites five achievements of the Reagan administration in his 2008 book. One, Reagan restored America's self-confidence. Two, he was an example of optimism, grit, serenity, wit. His personality continues to fascinate and inspire. Three, he gave conservatives a successful presidency to defend and a paradigm of political discourse for at least a generation. Four, he mobilized resources, and the very first cited by Nash was his rhetorical resources to put the Soviet Empire on the road to extinction. And five, quote, finally, and perhaps most importantly, he gave us his words. So rhetoric in the modern presidency certainly must account for Ronald Reagan's influence. Of course, I've been particularly interested in Reagan because of the work I've been doing in recent years and because of our work over the years in behalf of Ronald Reagan. But we have a very distinguished panel, even without Gleaves Whitney with us. And let me introduce both of them, and they will take the topic from there. David Nichols is Associate Professor of Political Science at Baylor University. He received his BA at Wake Forest, his master's at Northern Illinois University, and his PhD at the University of Virginia. Professor Nichols studies American politics, constitutional law, politics and literature, and politics and film. He previously directed the honors program at Montclair State University. He taught at Fordham, the University of Virginia, and Catholic University. His topic today will be, is a conservative defense of the rhetorical presidency. We're also joined by Stephen Hayward, who is the Weyerhaeuser Fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. He received his business degree at Lewis and Clark College, his master's and his PhD at Claremont Graduate School. He also serves as a senior fellow at the Pacific Research Institute. He has written numerous books, including those on Churchill, Ronald Reagan, and President Jimmy Carter. Perhaps his most famous is the multi-volume set, or the two-volume set so far, on the age of Reagan. Stephen's topic today will be the presidency from Reagan to Obama. So join with me in welcoming Professor Nichols.